Side 5, Star Wars, Shadows of the Empire by Steve Perry. Continuing on page 182.
We know how resourceful Jedi Knights are. You are worth a few thousand more alive than dead. However, better to collect the smaller bounty than to risk losing it all. Is this understandable?
Yeah, I get it.
Good. It's not personal, you know. Some of us even admire what you've done against the Empire, having some sympathies in that direction. But business is business. Behave yourself, and you will be treated well. You'll be kept in here, but you'll be fed and unmolested until we arrange for our benefactor to pay us and collect you. You want to tell me who this benefactor is? Not to worry. You'll find out soon enough.
With that, Scottle oozed back through the door and shut it behind herself. Luke stared after her. Well, this was great, captured by a bunch of bounty hunters and sold to the highest bidder. Good thing the one who wanted him dead, and who might that be, was not as generous as whoever wanted him alive. Given the money involved, he had no idea about who the latter could be. Darth Vader could throw that many credits out a window and never miss them, were the stories true. According to what he'd heard, if Vader's personal fortune was changed into credit coins and dumped in a pile, you could spend the rest of your life digging in it with a shovel and not get to the bottom. Leia sure didn't have that much. Probably the whole Alliance didn't have that much. He'd better think of something fast. He had an idea that if he stood face to face with Vader unarmed, he wasn't going to have much of a chance of surviving that meeting.
Good idea, Luke. Think of something.
What?
The droid who looked like a woman had hidden her ship in a small clearing centered in a vast rainforest 200 kilometers away from Avaro's casino. The ride didn't take long by land speeder, and it was just the three of them, Guri, Chewie, and Leia. Storm clouds gathered in layers of purple and gray as they arrived. The rumble of thunder followed close after the bright flashes of approaching lightning. The air had that damp, wild smell that ran before a hard rain. Leia and Chewie stared at the ship. It was a sleek, somehow almost feminine craft, shaped vaguely like a figure eight lying on its belly, bristling with guns fore and amidships, a quad of powerful-looking engines mounted aft.
My vessel, the Stinger, Guri said.
Very nice.
Named by my master, she said. An appropriate designation.
We'd better get on board before the storm gets here, Leia said. The trio started for the ship. Dash and Lando weren't particularly happy being left behind, but Leia wouldn't risk any more people than she had to. Chewie was enough. If this turned out to be what Guri and the mysterious Zizor claimed, it would be fine, assuming they got past the pickets around Coruscant and on-planet customs. If not, no point in all of them getting into trouble. Well, any more trouble than they were already in. The rain let go in earnest, and they ran for the ship. They got drenched anyhow. A couple of days had passed, at least. Luke had lost track of the time, since there wasn't any light except for the dim one in the cell and no transperisteel on the outside. He was practicing his levitation, hovering a few centimeters over the cot, when he heard approaching footsteps. He allowed himself to drop to the cot. He didn't want to reveal he knew how to do this. There weren't any holocams in the cell that he'd been able to detect, and the guard usually stayed across the hall. The door clicked, and Scottle slipped silently into the room.
So, has my buyer paid up?
Not exactly.
Luke slipped off the cot and stood, facing the shorter Barabel.
What does that mean?
It means that after a discussion with my colleague, we realized that you might be even more valuable than we thought.
More valuable? Come on.
There are two factions who want you. It was suggested that we might be able to pump up the price by playing them off against each other.
Luke blinked.
You're going to have them bid for me? Like a slave?
Something like that.
Who are these people?
Scottle did something like a shrug.
To be honest, we don't know. Our contacts have been very, circuitous. Agents of agents of agents kind of thing. Luke couldn't think of anything to say. Of course, we must be very circumspect in our dealings. Players with the kind of money we are talking about must be very powerful. A misstep might be most dangerous, fatal.
So you solicit higher offers from them. What if the ones who want me dead come up with more credit?
Like I said before, it's not personal, just business.
Luke stared at the Barabel.
You'll excuse me if I take it personally.
His voice was as dry as his throat had suddenly become. In his lair, Zizor smiled. Guri had the princes, and they were on their way here. Perfect. He leaned back in his chair and steepled his fingers. Sometimes it was almost disappointing how easily he accomplished his ends. It would be good to have a challenge now and then, as he had in the old days before he was master of so much, when he'd had to work a little. Ah, well, better to win easily than to lose. The Emperor sat in his favorite throne, the one set a meter higher than the rest of the room. Vader entered, dropped to one knee.
My master. Rise, Lord Vader.
Vader did so. He hoped whatever the Emperor wanted was something easy and brief. He had just received word from his agents that Luke had been found. His captors, it seemed, were a ragtag band of bounty hunters who were demanding more money. Vader's agents knew who they were, but not precisely where they were hiding. And it seemed there was another bidder who also wanted Luke. Vader would have his people offer whatever it took. Money meant nothing when compared to the dark side, and he fully intended to turn the boy in that direction. He considered going to collect Luke himself, to Coplis, where he was reportedly being held, but to leave Imperial Center just now would be dangerous. He needed to be here to watch Zizor. The criminal's twisted plans had ensnared the Emperor, and to walk away might well be a fatal mistake.
You will go to Coplis,
the Emperor said,
and collect young Skywalker.
Once again, Vader was glad his face was masked. He had not expected to hear this. How did the Emperor know? Who in Vader's organization had betrayed him? There was no way the Emperor should be privy to that information, not yet. Only a handful of Vader's most trusted agents knew it. Unless the Emperor was the other bidder for Luke? No, that made no sense. The Emperor had given the task to Vader. He would not enter into a bidding war against himself.
I have already sent my agents for him,
Vader tried.
Agents are not to be trusted. Skywalker grows stronger in the Force each day. I remind you that he has within him the power to destroy us. Only you are potent enough to capture him. Yes, my master.
There was no arguing with him once he'd made his mind up. Surely Prince Zizor's foul hand was involved in this. It would not be wise to bring that up. The Emperor had made it quite clear that the Dark Prince was his concern, and it would not be a good idea to reveal that Vader had plans of his own concerning Zizor.
There is another reason. You are aware that Prince Zizor's scheme to allow the plans for the Death Star to fall into rebel hands has been implemented.
Yes, my master. The plan proceeds over my objections.
Those objections have been noted, Lord Vader. As it happens, the plans have been transported from the freighter hijacked off Bafawi to Coplis. Quite a coincidence, don't you think?
That Luke and the fruits of Zizor's twisted plot were on the same planet at the same time, a coincidence? Doubtful.
We must appear to make an attempt to recover the plans,
the Emperor continued.
To convince the rebels that the plans are genuine and that we are distressed by their loss. Therefore, your trip will serve two purposes. You can fetch Skywalker, and you can destroy some of the local scenery so that the rebels will be gulled into believing we are concerned over the theft.
He had to at least try.
Any of our admirals could go and wave the flag and fire the guns. I have many pressing matters here.
More pressing than my commands, Lord Vader?
So much for that idea.
No, my master.
I thought not. I will have Skywalker with us or destroyed. The sooner the better. And the end of the rebellion is near. If you personally lead the attack, the rebels will be convinced that we think these plans of great value. Yes, my master. Vader left the chambers, and once again his simmering anger threatened to bubble up and overcome him. Zizor's touch was like a thick night fog, dark, clammy, seeping into the smallest cracks to chill and dampen. Once again, he had maneuvered the Emperor into getting his rival out of the picture. With Vader on Catalyst, who knew what clawing webs that reptilian spider would spin for the Emperor? Vader resolved to make it a fast trip. The call came from a picket line of Imperial Star Destroyers and frigates posted around the planet. Entry code, the bored voice said. Inside the Stinger, Guri responded with a number. A moment went by. Pass, lock into the landing grid and put it on auto. Guri operated the ship with an offhand expertise that was most impressive. She tapped controls, her hands dancing rapidly. Leia and Chewie looked at each other. They will check for contraband at customs, Guri said, as if reading Leia's mind. Black Sun has contacts there, but we cannot make it too obvious that you are under our protection. Time to go change. Chewie said something. It didn't sound happy. You wanted to come along, Leia said. He didn't like it, but he left and went to the fresher. Once the ship was on auto, Guri stood and walked to a locker. She removed some clothes and a full-head muzzle-mask helmet from the locker, tossed them at Leia. Here, put these on. The clothes stank. Leia wrinkled her nose at them. Guri said, They belonged to Bausch, an Ubizi bounty hunter. Bausch was quite good at the trade. He did a lot of contract work for Black Sun. He retired recently. As it happens, I speak a bit of Ubizi, Leia said. We know the costume is not a coincidence. Leia looked at the clothes. What happened to this Bausch? He retired? Quite suddenly, he tried to rascal Black Sun for more credits on a delivery for which there was an agreed-upon contract. That was unwise. The sound of the last statement gave Leia a chill. She moved to don the clothing. She had a feeling Bausch would not be needing these smelly clothes again. When Chewie returned in a few minutes, it was all Leia could do to keep a straight face. Where his fur had been brown and gray, it now was mottled with large patches of black. A raccoon-like mask encircled his eyes, and the fur on his head had been trimmed into a short spacer's cut. She turned to Guri, who said, Meet Snuva, a well-known Wookiee bounty hunter. Chewie was unhappy, and that came through in whatever it was he said. Stop complaining, Leia said. The dye will wash out and your fur will grow back. In a couple of weeks, you'll be back to normal. Leia put her helmet on and tested the built-in box scrambler. When she spoke, her voice was electronically altered. She knew enough Ubizi to get by, and as long as she didn't run into a native of that place, she should be okay. Her speech buzzed and clicked and sounded to her own ears as if it were indeed coming from an alien throat. Chewie gargled and moaned, and Guri nodded. Yes, it will do. We'll be landing soon. Leia nodded and removed the helmet. She hoped Guri knew what she was doing. 23. A thin man brought Luke food and drink twice a day. He had eaten worse, eaten better, too. The routine was usually the same when breakfast or supper arrived. The thin man carried a tray to the door. The guard unlocked the door, leveled his blast rifle at Luke, and backed him to the cot. The thin man put the tray on the floor just inside the door, then left with the guard. This time, Luke asked the thin man for the time. What do you care? The thin man said. Why do you care if I care? Luke returned. The thin man sneered, but he told Luke what time it was and departed. This was the evening meal, as Luke had suspected. The reason for his question was simple. He was planning on leaving, and he wanted the cover of darkness. Once he got out of the building, better they were not able to spot him, that he could use the night for camouflage. Luke ate. The liquid was sweet, brown, and fizzy. The food was bland. Soy pro cutlets, some kind of orange vegetable,
something green and crunchy. But there was no point escaping on an empty stomach. Once he got to his X-wing and lifted, there was no telling how long it would be before he had a chance to eat again. Once he got to his X-wing. He grinned around a mouthful of the green stuff, like that was going to be the easy part. It would not be wise for them to be seen together, Guri told Leia. After you clear customs, meet me at these coordinates. Leia and Chewie agreed. There were a few tense moments at customs. A guard examined the holocard ID that said Leia was Bausch, tapped it against the table in front of him. Purpose of your visit?
Business,
Leia said in Ubizi. Her voice clicked and buzzed through the mask. I see you are licensed to carry that weapon, but we do not take kindly to people who use them on Imperial Center. Leia said nothing. I think we'll have to take that helmet off, he said, just to be certain you match the holograph. He tapped the card again, looked at it. One can't be too careful. Leia said,
It will damage my lungs to breathe this air without my filters.
I can arrange an atmosphere room, he began.
He stopped.
Chewie moved close to Leia, and the guard rumbled something. She realized how used to him she'd gotten every time she took in his disguise. Good old Chewie, he was as dependable as sunlight, loyal to a fault. What is your problem? The guard said. Chewie babbled something that sounded angry. I don't care if you are late for an appointment, the guard said. But the line of people waiting to pass through customs was starting to lengthen, and the guard suddenly thrust Leia's ID card back at her. Move along, bounty hunter. I have others to process. Once Chewie was through, he and Leia moved quickly away from the area.
Okay, now we go and see my contact. This section of the underground is relatively safe, she said, but still not a place where you want to relax your guard.
Chewie nodded and patted his bowcaster, said something.